listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
What would you say of a judge who willingly and knowingly let a serial killer go free without any punishment? Would you want that judge removed from the bench? But what about us then? Are you comfortable with God allowing us to go free without paying the penalty of our sin? Well, we'll talk about this and so much more as we journey through Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 on Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another exciting adventure in God's Word. So, while you grab your seat, here's an email that we recently received from a listener who wishes to remain anonymous. It's such a pleasure to ride the Bible bus and also be a supporter of the journey. There is so much I enjoy about this ministry. Dr. McGee's witty personality and stories, the letters from around the world, the colorful name and concept of the Bible bus, the many ways to listen, hearing of Greg and Steve's tireless commitment to getting the word to the whole world, and of course God's unending faithfulness. But by far the most valuable thing about this ministry to me is how it has impacted my reading and understanding of God's Word. In 2012, I had been a Christian for over 10 years, and I was questioning all that I had been taught. I was seeking the truth regardless of what I or others I knew in the church might feel about it. I started listening to Dr. McGee with my Bible open. God showed me that I had previously not been taught the Word of God accurately. Therefore, my understanding was unfruitful, even dangerously off track. It was as exciting as salvation itself, being delivered from false teaching and reading and hearing the Word of God as it really is. God has anointed and blessed this teaching of His Word. Well, God's Word is indeed a powerful measuring stick. I'm so glad that this listener and each of you as well are on board with us each day. Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth found in your word. Would you open our hearts and minds to the deep treasures that you have for us? And may our love for you deepen and intensify with each chapter that we study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now it's time for Ephesians 1 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today we see God the Son paid for the church. And first we have here, He redeemed us through His blood. Let me read verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now these verses here are actually like mountain peaks. We've just been leaping from one to the other. And I keep thinking, well, we're going to come to one where we can just touch down and then take off again, but it's not quite like that. This is so important and so vital for us today. Now, we are told here we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He's redeemed us through His blood. Now, we move from eternity into time. Back in eternity past, God chose, God predestinated, made us accepted in the Beloved. Now we come out of eternity into time, where the plans of God the Father are now placed in the hands of Christ, who moves into space and time to construct the church. And now it is a historical fact that Jesus was born into this world 1900 years ago. God intruded into humanity, and there, after being in this earth for 33 years, He died upon a cross, buried, rose again bodily, ascended into heaven. Those are the historical facts that the Word of God gives us. And while He was here, He redeemed us. And He redeemed us through His blood. Now, this is something that's not popular today. The thing that most people like is a beautiful religion, one that appeals to their aesthetic nature. The cross of Christ does not appeal to the aesthetic part of man, doesn't appeal to the pride of man. And unfortunately today that, well, of course, all the liberal churches, but even a few of the so-called Bible churches today make an appeal to the old nature, to man, And therefore, there is no emphasis on the blood of Christ. It's rather repulsive. Lady went up years ago to the late Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. I'm told it was up in Philadelphia. And she was one of these dowages that had a lorgnette. You know what a lorgnette is? It's a snare on the end of a stick. And she went up with that lorgnette and said to him, "Dr. Morgan, I do not like to hear about the blood. It's repulsive to me. It offends my aesthetic nature." And Dr. Morgan looked at her in his characteristic manner, and he says, "I agree with you that it's repulsive. But," he says, "the only thing repulsive about it is your sin and mine. That's the thing that's repulsive about the blood redemption and the forgiveness of sins, my friend." And then I'm told years ago that when a new pastor came to the great church in Washington, D.C., that a couple came down to him and said, "We trust that you're not going to put too much emphasis on the blood. The last pastor we had, he just talked about the blood all the time, and we hope that you will not emphasize it too much." Oh, he looked at him and says, "You can be assured, I won't emphasize it too much." And they said, look pleased and thanked him for it. He says, "But just a minute." He says, "You know, you can't emphasize it too much." And he continued to emphasize the blood. Well, it's repulsive to man. We have redemption through his blood. Now, the writer to the Hebrews puts it like this: "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Now you see, God drew the blueprint for the church, and the Son, he comes into time to form the church with nail-pierced hands. And the entire context of the Old Testament sets forth the expiation of sins by the blood of an animal sacrifice. Yet this, as the writer to the Hebrews says here, could not take away sins. Only Christ could execute that. That's what Paul means. In whom, that is in Christ, we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin according to the riches of his grace. Now, this is the one who's called the beloved, accepted in the beloved. That's Christ. And in whom we have redemption. Now, redemption is the primary work of Christ. Actually, the word is here, the redemption. In whom we have the redemption is the literal. And that gives prominence and position of the fact that it's named first. It's given top priority. That's what Christ did for us when he came to this earth. He made it that way. He said that. Matthew 20:28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, he came to pay a price for your redemption and mine. We were slaves in sin, and he came to pay a price, to deliver us, to give us liberty. Now, there are three words that are found in the New Testament which are translated by the one English word redemption. The word that is very important is the word agorazo. Now, that word agorazo, it really means to buy in the marketplace. That is the way that it is used. It means to buy in the marketplace. And the picture is this. Here goes a housewife out of a morning to the marketplace. She wants to buy some vegetables and a roast for the day. And she goes in and she sees the roast and the vegetables. She puts down cash on the barrel head and she pays the price. And now they belong to her, of course. In other words, the only thought in this word is just to buy and take out. That's the word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. He went in and bought us out of the slave market. That is the word. And that's all this word means. Now there's another word that is used, and that is the Greek word ex agorazo. Now that means to buy it out of the market, and the thought there is to buy it for its own use. Now you see, somebody could go into the marketplace and buy that roast and buy vegetables and go down to the next town where they're short of those items and put them up for sale for a price. But ex agorazo means to take it out of the marketplace and never to sell it again. It's not to be put up for sale anymore. And that's the thought that is in this word. And by the way, we find this word over in the third chapter of Galatians at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, that means that Christ not only redeemed us, but he redeemed us that we would not be exposed for sale again. That he paid the price and he's taken us off of the market. We're never to be exposed for sale again. Well, there is a third word. And this third word is apolutrosis. Now, apolutrosis is an altogether different word, you see. And that's the word that Paul uses here. We have redemption. And it's pretty important, by the way, I think, for us to see that we have redemption. And we have redemption through his blood. We are told, for instance, in Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, that's a marvelous word. It means not only to go into the marketplace, put cash on the barrel head. It means not only to take it out of the market to use for your own private use and never to sell it again, but it means now to set free, to pay a price and to set free. It means to liberate when the ransom is paid. It means to buy out of slavery in order to set a person free. And this is the word that we have here. Now, man's been sold under sin, and he's in the bondage of sin. All you have to do is look around you today. Man is a rotten, corrupt sinner, and he can't do anything else but sin. And he's a slave to sin. Now, Christ came to pay the price of his freedom. And that's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. Now, here is something else that is quite wonderful. We are told that we have redemption through his blood. That's the price he paid. And Peter speaks of that blood. He says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, the blood of Christ is more valuable than silver or gold. To begin with, there's not too much of it. What is it, 3 gallons in a human body? Or is there that much? Well, anyway, it's a limited supply, and that always runs a price up, you know, the scarcity of the item. But the important thing is that one drop of that blood would save every sinner on top of this earth if he'd trust it. And we have redemption now through his blood. And he saves us that way because he says, without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. That's an Old Testament principle. and it's applicable to the entire human race from Adam down to the last man. We've been redeemed now, not with the blood of bulls and goats, that can't redeem you, but the precious blood of Christ. Now, we have also, in connection with this, the forgiveness of our sins or our trespasses. Now, forgiveness, therefore, is not the act of an indulgent deity who's moved by sentiment to the exclusion of justice and righteousness and holiness. Forgiveness depends on the shedding of blood. It depends on the payment of the penalty for sin. Now, I think right here we ought to learn to make a distinction. Human forgiveness and divine forgiveness are not the same. Actually, forgiveness means that you just send it off or away. Actually, that means that you just mark out the account. Now, human forgiveness is always based on the fact that a penalty is deserved and that the penalty is forgiven. May I say to you, divine forgiveness is never that. It always means there can be no forgiveness apart from the execution of the penalty. In other words, human forgiveness comes before the penalty is executed. And divine forgiveness, the penalty has to be executed. You know, that is something that it's too bad that our entire legal system that has bogged down today, and we're living in a lawless nation where it's not safe to be on the streets of our cities at night. Why? Because of the leniency on the part of certain judges throughout this land. And as a result, well, we're in a bad way. And they think that it's easy to sit on a bench and you feel big-hearted if you tell a criminal that you're free. But the penalty, my friend, has to be executed. The very interesting thing is I heard a judge make this statement. He says, well, if God can forgive, then I can forgive. I want to say something. God paid the penalty. Is that judge willing to go and pay the penalty? I don't think you have any right to take men out of death row unless you're willing to take their place, because a penalty must be executed. And God forgives on the basis a penalty has been executed. When was it executed? When Christ shed his blood 1900 years ago. Sure, that's not aesthetic. That doesn't appeal to the refined nature of civilized man today. Of course it doesn't. But his sin doesn't seem to be so bad. That's sophistication. That's because he's a suave individual and clever. My friend, he's a lost, hell-doomed sinner. And God cannot forgive until the penalty's been executed. And that penalty's been executed. And that's the reason that right back to back in the Word of God in the New Testament, when you talk about forgiveness, the blood of Christ is put there. It depends on the blood of Christ whether you are going to be forgiven or not. That's how valuable the blood of Christ. I said it last time. I say it again. Come to God as a nobody and let him make you a somebody. He can forgive you your sins because he paid the penalty for your sins, and that's the only way that you and I today can have forgiveness of sins. Now, will you notice what he says over in Acts 26:18? I'd like to read that for you. Paul is giving here his testimony, and he said that he was sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you that forgiveness depends on what Christ has done for us on the cross. Notice Luke 24:47. And again, here the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, and that repentance and remission of sins. And remission, here's forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Your witnesses of these things. Now we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul says it again in Colossians 1:14. Now the shedding of the blood of Christ and his death is the foundation for forgiveness, and without this, sine qua non, which means without that, nothing. Nothing. God cannot forgive you until the penalty has been paid. Thank God today the penalty's been paid. Now, Paul put it like this in Romans 4:25, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And that word offense is the word for sins here. You will have forgiveness of sins. That's the word that's used for Adam's transgression, you see here. And we are told, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. So that the entire list of sins which is chargeable to man are forgiven on the basis of the blood of Christ. Christ bought the church foul that he might make it fair, is the way Augustine put it. And this, by the way, is according to the riches of his grace. Now, that's an interesting expression. He doesn't say out of the riches of his grace, but it's according to the riches of his grace. Let me illustrate the difference there. I read many years ago that when the late John D. Rockefeller played golf down in Florida, he always gave the caddy a dime. And I always felt like that almost broke the man each time to pay out that handsome sum. But you see, he didn't give according to his riches. He gave out of his riches. And I do believe he could have made it a little bit better than that. But he gave out of his riches, not according to his riches. Say, if he'd have given according to his riches, the caddy would have been rich. Well, you see, God has given according to the riches of his grace. And friends, we haven't come to that word grace yet that we're going to deal with, but God's got a lot of grace. He's rich in it. And he is willing to give according to his riches of his grace. Oh, he has had to bestow so much on me, and he's got enough left for you. And you, and you, way up yonder at the North Pole, we're on a station up there. It must be cold up there, but God's grace is rich up there. And then way out yonder across the Pacific, some of you hear this message. God's got, oh, he is rich in grace. He has enough for you. Just come to him. We can find grace to help. God's rich in grace. He can save you, and he can keep you. Now, that's the first thing. Say, this is a rich epistle, is it not? Now, we take our next step here, and we come to verse 8 and 9, which he caused, or he made to abound toward us, having made known unto us, in all wisdom and prudence, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Now, he's not only redeemed us through his blood, but he's revealed the mystery of his will. Now, that's a very important thing that we have here in these two verses. And we want to look at these two verses here. But we're not going to have time to get very far in this. In fact, it's going to be a mystery till next time. But here we see that Christ not only has redeemed us, but he's revealed to us the mystery of his will. Now, what is a mystery in Scripture? Well, a mystery in Scripture is not a whodunit. It's not a mystery story. It's not something that you wonder about who did it. And after all, it was the butler that committed the crime. Something like that, you know. But it is something altogether different. But we're going to have to wait till next time. But we want to see that because it's something quite wonderful. May God bless you.
To find out more about this ministry and the resources we offer to deepen your study of God's Word, call us. 1-800-65-BIBLE is the number. Or always, you can visit our website, ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, praying for you to grow in grace and mercy as you walk with God today.
Jesus,
today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible bus all around the world.
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Soon and very soon, we are gone. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's the glory of Ross from New Life Assembly of God of Melbourne, Florida. And I thank God today, because today is the day the Lord has made, and we should all rejoice and be glad in it. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service times on Sunday are 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, we thank God once again, as we always do, giving him praise and honor and dancing before the Lord, giving him the honor and thanking him for waking us up this morning to allow us to see this wonderful day. I praise him, give him all of the glory. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there. And by the way, keep in mind that this Sunday is, praise God, Pastor's Appreciation. And all those in the outlining areas there, if you want to be a blessing to the man of God, just come our way. The address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, Melbourne, Florida. And when you hear all the praising and worshiping and glorifying God, you know that you're in the right place, because we are the church in the city with the city in our heart. Father, we thank you once again in the precious name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, that your word, as it's spoken to say, Lord, that it would touch the hearts of the believers and all others, Lord, that they would receive your word and give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, today we want to look at what the word of God says in Romans, the 6th chapter, the epistle that Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Rome. We thank God for it. And I want to use for a subject today, praise God, shall we continue in sin? I want to say that again. Shall we continue in sin? Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Rome, and it was very clear that what was going on is that the question came up, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We know that grace is more powerful than sin, but a lot of folks were thinking that they could continue in sin and say that they in Christ because of grace. But I want to tell you today, the scriptures are clear. He says, shall we continue? That's the question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Apostle Paul said, well, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I want to tell you today that if you are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are dead to the sin nature. The nature is what causes you to sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are in him and he's in you, then you are dead to the sin nature. In other words, sin is not dead, but you are dead to the sin nature. That nature that have us all doing things that are contrary to the word of God. Now the Bible tells us and the reason we know that if you're in Christ, that you're dead to sin, because Christ was made a sin offering for you. If you want to look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, praise God, you can see that the Father has made him, who is Jesus, to be a sin offering for you. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ broke the power of sin on the cross of Calvary. That's where he did it, right there at the cross of Calvary. And it tells us that he who knew no sin was made a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So if you are in Christ, you are dead to the sin nature. You have the righteousness of God. Minister Glory, you want to read in Romans 6, the next verse?
Yeah? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
And he's referring to the sin nature. In other words, by being in Christ, sin is not dead, but a child of God is dead to that sin nature. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus, you should understand that since the Lord Jesus Christ was made a sin offering for you, and that he broke the power of that sin nature on the cross of Calvary, that you are dead to that sin nature. In other words, the sin nature lies dormant in your body. And I'm not trying to tell you that sinless perfection. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the nature has no power over you. That sin nature has no power over you because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people today say, well, I'm in Christ, but I want to know if Christ is in them. If Christ is on the inside of them as well, then what happened is that they are dead to the sin nature because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why Apostle Paul asked the question. He said, shall we continue in sin? In other words, in that sin nature.
God forbid.
How shall we that are dead to that sin nature live any longer therein? A lot of folks today are still operating in that nature and saying they're in Christ. Well, anyway, the most important thing is that your position as a child of God, if you're in Christ, you are dead to the sin nature. And you should know that as a child of God. Next verse, Minister.
It says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death.
Praise God. Now listen what it says here now. This is really wonderful here because he said, and Paul is saying, well, don't you know? Otherwise, it's written, know ye not, but he's actually saying, well, don't you know that we who were what?
Baptized, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized until his death.
Praise God. We're baptized into his death.
Amen.
In other words, you've died with the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are supposed to know this, that you are in Christ. Praise God. Positionally speaking, you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of folks out there in radio land, they feel that, well, I can do what I want to do and still say that I'm in Christ. Well, that old nature is revived once you try to do things in of your own strength and ability. You must focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done.
Amen.
So if he died, he took me to Calvary with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he took everyone that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We went to Calvary with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the victory was. That's where I received my blessings and I received salvation and I received healing and everything that the Lord Jesus Christ appropriated for us as believers was in him, and he was done at the cross of Calvary. Minister Glory, so the whole thing is that a lot of folks don't realize their position as a child of God. Now, the scripture says that know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his what?
Death.
Death. That means you died with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You want to read the rest of that?
It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Glory to God, that we also should walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
Walking as if we have died with Christ and were buried with Christ, praise God, and rose again on the third day, praise God.
Praise God.
Jesus rose on the third day, and what we did, we rose in the newness of life.
Amen.
His resurrection was our resurrection, praise God, because we are in him. You can't be in him and not going through what he went through. He took us all to the cross of Calvary that believe and trust in him. I don't mean that you were in the valley of Golgotha. You went there when Jesus was there on the cross between two thieves. I'm speaking in terms of our position in Christ. And we must know this. That way the enemy cannot confuse us. And when the nature that causes us to sin, when it tries to surface, we say that we are dead to that sin nature. We're dead to it. praise God, dead to the sin nature. And because of that baptism, because we were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, this is why the gospel has to be preached and not any of these other things that you're hearing. The gospel has to be preached. And we have to realize that through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. You know, if you're hearing anything else other than that, you're not hearing the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God. And we understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Praise the Lord. So Paul is telling the church of Rome there that you are dead to the sin nature, to that nature that causes you to sin. It's lying dormant. Sin is not dead. I want to make myself clear, because you still can look around and see all the sin that's going on. But as a child of God, being born in the Lord Jesus Christ, that nature is dead. A lot of folks don't even know what the sin nature is. They don't know. Well, I want to tell you what it is. It's what causes you to sin. That's what the sin nature is, that old nature, that old way of life. Praise God. You know, I was thinking, Minister Gloria, as we were talking about being in Christ, you know, that we've been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened is that I was sitting there meditating on the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, where it says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, positionally speaking, you're in Christ.
Right.
And it says, old things have passed away. Remember, we were talking about this? So yes. Old things was things that have died
right. In
our lives, praise God, because of the new birth.
Yes.
Or the spirit of the living God that has taken up residence in us. Mm-hmm. And it says the old things have passed away, their mm-hmm. old way of life.
Yes.
Hating people and backbiting against people, gossiping against people, and doing all kinds of things there. That was the old way of life.
Right.
The new way of life is in God.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
I just had to plug that in
mm-hmm.
because what's happening is that we're in Christ.
Yes.
Praise God. And the old nature had us doing all these things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That old sin nature. Mm-hmm. And this is why we have to realize where we are, whose we are, and what's going on in our lives. Let's look a little further in Romans 6 there.
Okay.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You want to read the next verse?
For if, qualifier, we
yes.
have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen. His resurrection is our resurrection. And I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if he didn't come out the grave, you ain't coming out. I just want to let you know that. If he didn't come out, you're not coming out. So don't think that you have the power to come out. No, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the first fruit of them that slept.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I said the first fruit.
Yes.
Of them that slept. Glory to God. So we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look a little further here, because what's happening is that Apostle Paul is addressing some very, very powerful issues here to the church of Rome, because he's telling them, if you are in Christ, and this is what we have to understand, Minister Gloria,
right.
as a child of God, positionally speaking, now you know that you didn't go to the Calvary's cross.
No.
That was only one that went there.
Yes.
And his name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
And he took all of the sins of the world and nailed them to his cross. So he's telling these folks there in Rome there, that you should know these things.
Mm-hmm.
That you are in Christ, so that means you've died to the sin nature and you're alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And that's why the gospel is the power of God. And everybody that believes this thing, you can walk in this newness of life. You can walk in what Jesus has done for you. Matter of fact, in Romans 1 and verse 16, excuse me. Apostle Paul was saying, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Now he's laying this thing out to the the Church of Rome there.
Yes.
He said, I'm not ashamed. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, there are a lot of folks that are ashamed of the gospel. Because if they weren't ashamed, they would preach the gospel. Amen. They would preach the gospel and give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the honor and the praise and the glory. And the word of God will speak for itself. Praise God. So Amen. Through this baptism.
Yes.
Back to Romans 6. Through this baptism here, praise God, we know that we are dead to that sin nature. And how we know is that, let's look at the fifth verse there, Minister Gordon.
The sixth verse.
Sixth verse.
It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Now that's about as
clear as
one could get.
Mm-hmm.
And Apostle Paul is very, very thorough in what he's saying. And this is something that each and every day that we ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing is progressive. It's continuous. It's not just an event. It's an everyday occurrence. And what we know, continuing to know, as Apostle Paul was saying there, knowing this, that our old man, the old way of life,
yes.
Old Adam.
Oh, that's right.
Amen. We've died to that.
Mm-hmm.
We died to that nature. So knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. With who? Who's him? That's
Jesus.
With Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. That's with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Been crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
We should not serve sin because we're in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people today, if you're not aware of your position in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are dead to the sin nature, praise God,
mm-hmm.
you will allow that nature to rise up.
That's
and
right.
manifest mm-hmm. itself in your life.
Yes.
But see, we're dead to it.
Amen.
We know this. We know what Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross. Did he take you to Calvary, Minister Gordon?
Did he take me to Calvary?
Yeah, did Jesus take you to Calvary?
No, he did it by himself.
No, what he did was for you.
Oh, praise God.
And that's what I'm saying in terms of taking you to Calvary.
All right, praise God.
He took us all to Calvary.
Amen, praise
because
God.
Because everyone that has sinned.
Yes.
Everybody sins. So what happens is that he took us to Calvary.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, I can only speak for myself. He took me to Calvary.
Amen.
Praise God. And everything he's done there on Calvary's cross is a direct representation of who I am in him.
Amen.
Praise God. Because he took your sins.
Yes, he did.
He took sickness.
Yes.
He took the disease.
Everything.
He took your griefs and sorrows and shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
He took everything and he nailed it. To his cross.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself.
No, he did it for everybody.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Because the scripture tells us that he who knew no sin was made a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise God.
All right, let's look at the sixth verse. The seventh verse, praise God. You want to read
it? For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Oh, listen to what he says. For he that is dead, in other words, he that is dead to the sin nature is free from sin.
Amen.
That means that the sin nature is what makes you sin. What's making you sin.
Yes.
And you need to understand that. We all need to understand that. That's why when the old way of life tries to surface or present itself, because now you're trying to handle this thing on your own accord or by your own strength, this nature will revive.
Yes.
It will come alive. But what happens is that when you stay focused in and on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done for you, you're dead to that sin nature.
Praise God.
And Apostle Paul, I think 15 or 16 times here in this chapter here, he was talking about the sin nature, that nature that causes us all to sin. So it says that he that is dead, oh my God, he that dead, doesn't mean that you're dead naturally.
In Christ.
and you're in Christ. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And if you're dead,
mm-hmm. you're free from sin.
You're free from sin.
Amen.
You're free from that sin nature mm-hmm. because you're in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank God for what Apostle Paul was saying here in Romans, the 6th chapter. And that's why he started out saying, shall we continue in sin? No! God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin or the sin nature live any longer therein? You can't. You're in Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Praise God.
Positionally speaking, you're in Christ. You want to read the next verse?
It says, now, if we be dead with Christ,
yes.
we believe that we shall also live with him.
Praise God. You're going to reign with him.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
If you be dead with Christ, you're going to reign with him. Praise mm-hmm. God. There's no other way.
Amen.
If you're in him mm-hmm. and he is in you, praise God. And the most important thing that the body of Christ must realize that the death that took place took all of your sin,
yes.
sicknesses, and disease. He broke the power of sin, of that sin nature. That's why, if you really look at it, the sin nature is still there, but it has no power over you. It has been deplugged, should I say. In other words, it's not in operation because you are dead to it. You know, can we really realize that we are dead to this sin nature? Because the scripture tells us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And our faith is in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Mm-hmm. And he tells us we're to notice all the time, we're to know that our old man has been crucified. In other words, been put to death.
Yes.
Been put to death. But where was that?
Cross of Calvary.
On the cross of Calvary. Praise God. Praise mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. We're dead. I wonder how many out there in Radio Land today that tuned into this broadcast that realize your position. Are you dead to the sin nature? Or is that you're still alive with the sin nature and dead to the things of God? That's a question
mm-hmm.
that's asked, praise God. And it's one that you should know according to what Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Rome. Glory to God. He that is dead, if you're dead to the sin nature, you're free from sin. Praise God. You want to read the next verse?
It says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more.
Isn't that something?
Death has no more dominion over him.
Praise God. Death has no dominion mm-hmm. over Jesus, and it has no dominion over you.
That's right.
As a child of God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Good God Almighty. What are we talking about here? We're talking about folks that realize who they are, that's in Christ Jesus. And you know, Apostle Paul is laying it out clear.
Yes.
And you just have to believe what he's saying by faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That you're dead to the sin nature.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord Jesus Christ mm-hmm. broke the power of sin. That's mm-hmm. what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done at the cross of Calvary.
But do you remember in Galatians 2:20 when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. But see, Paul never went to Calvary with Jesus, you know,
mm-hmm.
from a natural perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But his identification.
Yes.
And that's where we identify.
Mm-hmm.
We identify with what took place there at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
And Paul is saying, he's crucified.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, everybody out there in Radio Land that are born again, are you crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ? Glory to God. I said crucified. Did you die with him? That's why I made the statement earlier that he took me to Calvary.
Yes.
In other words, I died with him.
Mm-hmm.
Was buried with him.
Amen.
When he rose again on the third day, I rose in the newness of life.
Praise God.
You can't be in him and not be resurrected with him, praise God.
That's right.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
You're in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul says, well, he's crucified with Christ, that nevertheless he live, yet not I, but Christ lives in him.
Mm-hmm.
And the life that he now live in the flesh, He lived by faith of the Son of God. This thing here is not anything to play with, because the enemy knows exactly what you're doing. He sees you.
Yes.
And the point of the matter is that when you're walking in the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross, knowing who you are in Christ, you know that you died with him, you was buried with him, and you rose again. He rose on the third day, and you rose in the newness of life. So therefore, the sin nature has no power over you, because you realize that you are dead to that nature. Praise God. So the whole idea is that we thank the Lord for what is saying here. And it's much, much more. As you continue to read Romans, the sixth chapter, you'll be able to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, as Apostle Paul brings it forth to you all out there in radio land, even to us.
Amen.
We're not preaching sinless perfection, but we are preaching in Christ that we died with him, was buried with him, and rose again.
Praise God.
In the newness of life. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes and prison cells and automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I also want to tell you, praise God, that this is the time that we can come together and support the radio station, have funds coming to be a blessing to the radio station, that you, I, and all others will have a voice in the community, in Jesus' name. God bless you all out there in radio land. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.